Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I want to share this tweet with everybody too. Hello, AOS Floor, who tweeted at us and at 95.7 The Game and said, here we go, Rockets and Warriors. Easter Sunday, they've got Amen and we've got Moses.
Wow, that's a five. that's Catholics out there, that's a damn five.
That's some good religious humor right there.
No doubt.
Who wins in that case, by the way? On Easter, what's more powerful, Moses or Amen?
Well, I believe that Easter is more of a New Testament, so Moses a little bit out of his depth as an Old Testament character, and so I don't think that Jesus staged his comeback until the New Testament. He was down at the half.
I don't even know what the hell's going on right now.
Jesus goes into the locker room and he's down a bunch.
When Moses takes a charge and he gets up, is someone going to say he has risen?
Well, first of all, Moses gets the ball at the top of the circle, and as he drives down, the defenders just part.
Okay,
and he's got a free lane to the bucket. And then you go into halftime, and Jesus is down a bundle. And then you get late into the New Testament, and back comes JC. You thought they were down 42 with 8 minutes to go? Christ is coming back. Christ has risen. He is him.
We should probably stop.
I can't stop. I got so much more. I can do 5 minutes of humor on this.
I know you can. And I'm going to stop you.
Jesus was down a bundle at the half. That's all I'm going to say.
That's pretty funny. Roger in the city. Hello, Roger. What are you doing?
Oh, hey. Yeah, just driving home from a day of work.
Yeah, that happens. All right. Congratulations on being done. Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Roger. You're done with work.
Congratulations. I just wanted to say, sorry. I thought you meant done for, you were dropping me.
No. We're not going to treat you like Guy Santos and let you walk in the game and scream and leave. Like, we're not doing that.
Oh, God, love Guy. Anyways, just wanted to say, yes, like a lot of people have said, it's pretty obvious that Kerr and the analytics kind of speak for themselves and that they know what they're doing. But you know what Jonathan Kuminga knows how to do? He knows how to cook the Rockets. Hmm. And he will cook the Rockets if he's just given the opportunity. So if Jimmy's having any problems, Kerr needs to make the adjustment and just let him go at these guys because he knows these guys well. And he's cooked each one of them individually many, many times. Thompson, Green, probably Eason. He knows what he can do against these guys, and he has proven it many times this season. He needs to cook the Rockets.
Roger, thank you. Can I Okay, I've arrived at a spot. I'd like to talk about this for a second.
You can. I mean,
you know exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, I mean,
listen to me. I think
does it have to do with cooking?
I think he's going to play against Houston, but right now it doesn't matter. We got a lot of time before the Warriors play the Rockets, and I don't know how that's going to look. I think there's some variables involved, but yes, the Rockets are young and long and athletic. Do they need Jonathan? Probably. Okay, that'd be my guess. Who knows? We'll see. But here's what I'm personally done with. I really don't want to hear any more about how Jonathan cooks. I don't care what he scored against the Rockets.
He averaged 21 a game.
I don't care.
He cooked.
I don't care.
He wore an apron in the game in October.
When the hell is somebody going to call in and be like, you know what Jonathan can do in this series is play team basketball and make good decisions that help the Warriors win. I'm really starting to get tired of this cook thing and the ha-ha and what Jonathan can do as an individual and what Jonathan can do as an individual and what Jonathan can do as an individual. I don't want to know. I don't care what anybody can do as an individual. The Warriors need Jonathan to start making the right decision on a very consistent basis. And they don't. You might disagree, they don't. But I don't hear anybody ever say that. Nobody ever calls and says, you know what, Jonathan? We think Jonathan can go in there and make the right play. Everyone keeps wanting him to cook. That's not going to win a ring.
Well, it won on December 5th.
Great.
You didn't have Steph, you didn't have Jimmy yet, and you didn't have Draymond. He had 33-7. And you beat those Rockets
right.
at Chase Center.
He had no choice but to cook. There was nobody else out there who could
play.
He
made an appetizer. He served a main. And then you know what he gave him for dessert? He gave him the ha-ha.
The ha-ha, yeah, the ha.
33-7.
Ha-ha. Yeah.
Let JK cook.
I don't care who cooks. I just want the meal. I don't.
Well, the meal that night was delicious.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't do that.
That's the guru sound.
Don't do that.
And I'm looking at the game score, and that was not his best game of the year, but it was one of them. He had three games that, according to Basketball Reference, had a higher game score. Two of those games, though, the Warriors lost. So, I'm just tongue-in-cheek coming back at you, because I'm totally with you. And I wonder about him playing in the series, because what you've said for the last couple of weeks has really stuck with me about this Warrior team, like, to go back to December and look at this game where JK cooked and you didn't have Steph, Jimmy, or Draymond, well, that's a great night. And I'm not taking that away from Jonathan because they won that game. And without that game, they might have been the 8 seed.
Yeah, that's
so
the point.
That matters, but sure. This team is not that team. And this team needs him to, this team doesn't need him to cook. They need him to be an assistant sous chef. They need him to chop the veggies. Like Guy Santos.
I just want people to stop making everything about individuals. I don't care. I don't care. Why do people want to let JK cook? What does that do for you? It's almost like people want, somehow they want him to prove to the organization that he's a talented basketball player more so than they want the Warriors to win the basketball game. I'm not here to tell you that JK stops you from winning the basketball game, but why is that your goal? Let him cook. I want him to cook. Why is that anyone's goal? I don't care if Steph scores 4 points if they win.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Did you hear the Jimmy soundbite about, I don't care if I have, you know, 10 assists or, you know,
right.
Miss 10 threes. I just want to win.
Jimmy Butler, this guy has had games. He's a future Hall of Famer. He had games 2 weeks ago where half our staff came in screaming and yelling because he shot the ball 4 times.
Yeah, that was me.
Great. Shoot it 4 times. Did we win?
Did they win that game when he shot 4 times?
I don't remember.
I think they lost.
I think they won. I just don't care who cooks.
I get it.
I don't care who cooks. All right, let's go to Larry in Lafayette. Hi, Larry, what's up?
Well, I've been just sitting here enjoying a couple of, you know, first a fun
than a more serious effort from you guys. There was kind of a resurrection comic inflection sincere perfection. Whoa. From Dibs a minute ago.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Slight blasphemy, but and all now, done with tongue in cheek, and I love the Lord, all of them. All
no,
the gods.
We like it.
Appreciate it.
In no way was I coming down on it.
And I love Cadbury cream eggs. Man, they should sell those things year-round, Larry.
I agree. Yeah. But here's what my take is. The Foyers came into this, and they were looking I think it was 2019 when they drafted Wiseman. No, it was 2020. And they drafted Wiseman that year, and they were thinking that they were going to get the next Tim Duncan. And that didn't work out very well. And now you have a raw rookie who's really trying his best, had a lot of injuries, didn't work out. But that should have taught them something about drafting a project with Steph Curry still on the roster. Then they follow that up with Kuminga and Moody. And, you know, I think you could argue that both of them had really tough time breaking in. And I don't think it's their fault. I agree with everything you said about all the other folks that were able to play because they were on bad teams. And, you know, there are always great scorers on bad teams. But, unfortunately, you put Kuminga out there right now, they're going to drop off him and not even – you know, they're going to clog Jimmy a little bit, but I think even worse, they're going to double-team a lot of three-point shooters, not just Steph. So that lack of spacing that happens when he gets on the floor is why I think Steve can't use him yet. We're going to need him against the Rockets, though. I think they're longer, more athletic, and I think he'll have a role. But I hope it works out.
Larry, I think it's a great call. Thank you very much. I co-sign with what Larry's saying wholeheartedly. I do think Jonathan will probably play in this series. I think he'll probably play in this series.
Well, that's another question for Steve Kerr then. Yeah. It's how do you get him ready? How has he stayed ready?
Well, that's his responsibility.
It's Jonathan's responsibility.
Absolutely.
And Steve's. And I wonder about the, you know, where he is mentally after having two DNPs in two gigantic games. And, you know, I'm sure Steve will say, you know, Jonathan's a professional.
That's
and he, you know,
job.
We've been talking to Jonathan and he'll be ready when called upon and all the rest of it. But I personally just wonder about bringing a 22-year-old back after two games of DNP. And now it's all right, JK, get in there. We need you, kid.
But this isn't new. Moses went through this his whole career. TJD went through this just last week. Guy Santos didn't play in game one. Nobody, when Guy went in last night, not one human was like, is he right? Is his mentals okay?
Different stories, though.
Of course they're different stories.
Way different.
But there are similarities. And one of the similarities, and the only one that matters to me, is you are a professional.
Yeah.
So your job is to not get up in your feelings, and when you're called upon, you go perform to the best of your abilities. That's it. And I would expect Jonathan to do, like we've said this a bunch of times, Jonathan has handled this great.
Yeah, he has.
I don't know what he says behind the scenes, but he has not caused any problems. He's handled it great. And if and when he goes in against Houston, I absolutely think that he'll be ready to go and he'll be full effort. I don't see it as an effort thing. I just don't see him as a great decision maker, and I don't see him as a great shooter. And those two things are a problem for Warrior basketball. But I think early in this series, you'll probably see him. I don't know if you'll see him late.
Depends on how he does early. If he gets some time in the early portion.
Yeah,
I just wonder about his confidence, because when you go from DNP to, all right, now we're going to play you, you're usually not given a big, long leash. And if you're not given a long leash, do you press or do you kind of play tentatively? It depends on your nature. And JK thrives when he plays with that downhill aggression and he attacks the rim and, you know, you get the ha-ha and he's trying to dunk on people. I just wonder if he does get minutes if he's not tentative, being afraid to make a mistake.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think the mental challenge is always there for professional athletes. You know what I mean? Like people who, you know, let's say that you're getting your first chance in a while, or let's say you sign a new contract, or let's say you get traded somewhere. We went through this with Dennis Schroeder. Remember when it was, oh, he's pressing. He's pressing because he's in a new environment and he really wants to show out well. Well, that's the deal. Pro sports throws a bunch of mental crap at you and you have to be able to handle it and perform. And so same thing here, I think. Let's go to TK in Petaluma. Hi, TK. Thanks for calling.
Hello, guys. First of all, I love the show. I love listening to it on my way home. Second of all, when you all walk out tonight, look out for those lightning rods with all of those religious jokes. Be careful.
Yeah, I'm good. I've been doing it for 50 years, and so far, so good. Although, okay.
We'll
it right. is a little cloudy today.
No, we'll be all right.
And I am wearing a metal jacket, so yeah.
Full metal jacket for Dibs.
Be
careful. Yeah, remember, God, Dibs did most of the jokes. Anyway, go ahead, TK.
If God can't take a joke, then he's not the all-knowing, all-loving creature that we all think he is. Come on, God.
Fair enough. My comment along the same lines that you've been talking, I think that the piece that I would say is, I think Kerr is more comparable than you guys are giving him credit. And here's what I mean by that. You get athletes, when you get them on your team, you get what you get. They are what they are. They have whatever athleticism, whatever. I hate when people constantly go around IQ. This is basketball. These are athletes. The fact of the matter is, yes, they have to be smart and all of that. But at the end of the day, you have what you have. And I think it's up to the coach to figure out combinations where he can get the most out of the players you have. And if you have an issue with him being on the floor with Jimmy, which is what he specifically said, then there are going to be times where you're going to have to get Jimmy off the floor. But he is not going to go through several seven-game series playing 40 minutes. You have to be able to look out further than that and know that he won't be able to play. So, therefore, you have to be already planning the times that he's off the floor, put Kuminga in where he's able to do what he is able to do best, maximize his talents. It's not easy, but that's why the coach is the one that you have to be required to have the highest IQ than anybody else, because he has to figure out those combinations to get the most out of everybody. So if you can't have them on the floor at the same time, even if you're giving Jimmy a break and you're getting him in for 2 minutes here, a minute here, or 3 minutes there, that is a better proposition than not playing him at all and not going into this series where you know you're going to need him.
Okay, so TK, yeah, this is a great call, but here's what I would respond and say to those points. Number one, the idea that can Jimmy Butler be doing 45 minutes a night for the entire playoffs? No, probably not. But these last two games were not that. These were treated as one-game must-win situations. And I guarantee you, even if Jonathan suddenly has a role, or anyone, Gee, TJD, if they've got a role in game 1, 2, or 3, if this series gets to game 7, that's out the door. That's out the door. We're going with our best, and we're putting our best foot forward, and I think that that's completely fair. One other thing to bring to the conversation with the crowd that wants certain players, hey, just give them a little nugget. Give them a little 3 minutes. Let me just present this for your thoughts. I think there are some players who would absolutely rather have 0 minutes than 7. And the reason is stats. That's it. Because stats are very much part of the conversation when it comes to money. And when you play, now you're PPG. There goes your points per game.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm telling you, this comes up.
I get it.
When an agent is out there talking to teams, and you're not going to rely on Brooklyn's GM to know the whole story of how this, that, and the other unfolded with the Warriors, and he's looking at let's go to his basketball reference page.
Oh, yeah.
And let's check out, what's his playoff points per game? Oh, 1.2? What the hell's the matter? Well, I'm not paying for that guy. I'm telling you, this is at minimum a part of the conversation.
I would agree. And right now for his career, Jonathan Kuminga is averaging 8 minutes a game.
Minutes.
8 minutes a playoff game. I do think also that different players thrive in 4 minute bursts more than others. And if you have Gee Santos, and I don't want to make this about Gee or JK, because JK is a more complete player, and I think he'll have a better career when all is said and done. But if you're Steve Kerr and you're looking for a 4 minute energizer bunny kind of an insert, for me, it's Gee Santos. You bring him in and you let him go crazy and do his thing. And similarly with Buddy Hield, all right, buddy, we need you to get in there for 4 to 6 minutes and make a bunch of shots. And he goes in there and he takes them and he doesn't make them. Okay, it's not your night, buddy. So we know we're not going to play you 32 minutes unless you're really, really hot. And that's just the way you have to deal with role players in these spots.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it's not an easy one. I will agree with this. He started off by saying, look, or maybe it was even the previous caller, like Steve Kerr is much more comfortable with all of this than maybe we give him credit for. And I agree. I think, in fact, all the Warriors are. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting because we watch this stuff and we go, man, there's such ego in sports. And there absolutely is. There is. Then again, there's Draymond Green, Mr. Podcast and ESPN and TNT and the loudest mouth in the game, is literally at the podium last night sharing a story of how he feels Steph Curry, in the kindest of ways, walked over to him with a few minutes left in the game and said, how about if you don't shoot? Because I'm better at it. And that's what we're going to be doing right now here for the rest of the way as I try to take us into the playoffs. And they handle that stuff. They completely handle that stuff. So my point is not that Jonathan is some way happy with what's going on. My point is that I think in the world of adult sports, everybody's used to this. You have to be able to take this. For God's sakes, we have a business that is based on us waking up every day and talking about these people for hours on end. And they deal with that. They deal with that. How would we feel if there was a whole industry based on talking about our performance the next day?
This is like Inception. So we got Sports Talk Radio on Sports Talk Radio.
There you go. How do you feel about that?
Dude, that's getting crazy.
It's a little much, isn't it?
Kind of like the YouTube feed.
All right, Warrior Wednesdays brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. It is weird to watch that, like, while you're talking. You suck. You suck. Anyway,